Especially, by the way, when the first publisher is helping support the construction of temples all over the world, and the second publisher is not. This is Bhagavad Gita as it is, and this is chapter 4, text 13. Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam guna karma vipagashaha tasya kartaram api mam vidya kartaram avyayam. According to the three modes of material nature and the work associated with them, the four divisions of human society are created by me. And although I am the creator of this system, you should know that I am yet the non-doer, being unchangeable. Purport. The Lord is the creator of everything. Everything is born of Him, everything is sustained by Him, and everything, after annihilation, rests in Him. He is therefore the creator of the four divisions of the social order, beginning with the intelligent class of men, technically called Brahmanas, due to their being situated in the mode of goodness. Next is the administrative class, technically called the Kshatriyas, due to their being situated in the mode of passion. The mercantile men, called the Vaishyas, are situated in the mixed modes of passion and ignorance. And the Shudras, or laborer class, are situated in the ignorant mode of material nature. In spite of his creating the four divisions of human society, Lord Krishna does not belong to any of these divisions, because he is not one of the conditioned souls, a section of whom form human society. Human society is similar to any other animal society, but to elevate men from the animal status, the above-mentioned divisions are created by the Lord for the systematic development of Krishna consciousness. The tendency of a particular man toward work is determined by the modes of material nature he has acquired. Such symptoms of life, according to the different modes of material nature, are described in the 18th chapter of this book. A person in Krishna consciousness, however, is above even the Brahmanas. Although Brahmanas by quality are supposed to know about Brahma, the Supreme Absolute Truth, most of them approach only the impersonal Brahma manifestation of Lord Krishna. But a man who transcends the limited knowledge of a Brahmana and reaches the knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, becomes a person in Krishna consciousness, or, in other words, a Vaishnava. Krishna consciousness includes knowledge of all different plenary expansions of Krishna, namely Ram, Nrisimha, Varaha, etc. And as Krishna is transcendental to this system of the four divisions of human society, a person in Krishna consciousness is also transcendental to all divisions of human society, whether we consider the divisions of community, nation, or species. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmiditam Deena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Pada Mahyam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrashatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindha Dina Bandho Jagatpate
Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prashabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Vyayevacha Potitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gaurabhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Chaturvarnyam Maya Shrishtam Gunakarma Vipadasham Tasya Kartanam Api Maam Vidyakartanam Abhiya. The word that caught my attention when I was reading this verse is akartara. The Krishna is the non-doer. And I was wondering, what does that mean in context? So I looked to see what Baladev Vidyabhushan and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said about it. And they said some interesting things. First of all, the Vishwanath Chakravarti noted that when it says that Krishna is the karta, there's a play in this verse. Krishna says, I'm the karta and I'm not the karta. Karta means doer, the person who, karma, kartavya, kartavya means prescribed duties, karma means prescribed duties. Karta is the person who's doing, and akarta is the person who's not doing. So Krishna says, although I'm the doer, I'm not the doer. Although I'm the karta, I'm the akarta. So what does it mean that Krishna is the karta and the akarta? Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur says that Krishna is the creator of everything. As Srila Prabhupada begins his purport, he's the creator. And therefore, Vishnath says, he's also the maintainer, he's also the destroyer. So Krishna is doing all three of these things. But because he's doing it through the modes of material nature or through prakriti, through his material energy, he's hands off. He's not doing anything. Natasya karyam karanam chidyate. The definition of God is that he doesn't have to do anything. He delegates everything to his different energies. So his energies are doing everything. His material energy is doing everything. Baladev Vidyabhushan says he takes Arkartaram Avyayam a little differently. He says that Krishna is impartial. So he's not doing anything. He doesn't have his thumb on the scale. He's not doing something to affect how things go. Like a judge who's sitting there, he's not getting involved in the case. He's neutral. So Krishna's neutral. There, Srila Prabhupada made a comment I was also listening to today, where someone was asking about material nature. And Srila Prabhupada said that, oh, he's asking about Maya. And Prabhupada said, you created Maya. And we generally hear that it's Krishna's business. He said, you created Maya. You create Maya by your desire. You want to enjoy independently. You want to turn away from God, away from Krishna. So you're creating Maya or illusion. Don't blame it on Krishna. Just as the judge is ordering someone to be hanged or whatever he may order. So it's not the judge who's doing it. You did it. It's not the judge's fault that you're getting hanged. It's your fault. You shot your neighbor or whatever you did to deserve it. The judge is just impartially saying, well, that's what you did, that's what you get. We created it by creating the circumstance. So in that way, Srila Prabhupada said, you created Maya. You're the one who's responsible for being, or we're the ones. We're the ones who are responsible for being influenced by passion or ignorance or goodness or whichever mode happens to be our favorite these days. It's us. Krishna's not doing it. Krishna's not saying, okay, this guy over here, the third guy from the left, let's push him down into passion. Or push him from there down to ignorance. He's the non-doer. We do it. We're the ones who say, wouldn't it be nice if... And then we want to, because we have this tendency or this mentality of wanting to exploit the modes of nature in different ways. The persons in the mode of goodness at least have some understanding of what they're doing. I'm exploiting the modes of nature and therefore I'm getting entangled. So he makes it his project to try to become disentangled from the modes of nature. Satvat Sanjayate Gyanam. He's cultivating knowledge which is produced from Sattva-guna, from goodness. And cultivating knowledge means making his way out of material nature. The person in passion is passionately trying to exploit material nature. He's trying to move the material energy around, doing this and doing that. The person in passion, in ignorance, doesn't know what he's doing. And a lot of the time he's not doing very much because he's overcome by laziness, by madness. And the person in passion and ignorance is someplace in between. He's got some impetus to move things around, but he doesn't have such a clear idea of what he's doing. The person in passion, at least, is next to goodness. He's not in goodness, but he's next to goodness. And when he's fortunate, he'll take direction from goodness. But the person in ignorance, without direction, will just be lazy or foolish. So Krishna is the non-doer in all of these things. He doesn't create the universe, he doesn't maintain it, he doesn't destroy it. Even maintenance, which is supposed to be done by Vishnu, is done by Krishna's expansion of the expansion. And Krishna doesn't have to do anything. We have to act. We have to act. We can't stop acting even for a moment. And because we have to act, there are some duties prescribed for us. If we just act according to how we feel, we will be more entangled, and more entangled in illusion. Therefore, everyone, whether in the mode of goodness, passion and ignorance, is meant to do some prescribed kind of work. Just as the doctor, according to a disease, prescribes exercise or medicine or heavy medicine or chemotherapy or surgery or depending on the patient. So there are different duties prescribed for different men. Maybe someone, exercise would be good, but he doesn't have the strength, so then he's given a different prescription. Everyone's individual. So the men in different modes of nature are given different duties. Men, women, everyone's given different duties. And by performing one's duties, one becomes advanced. Even just by performing them, one advances because he's following a helpful prescription and he's submitting to higher direction. But when one performs those duties consciously for the service of Krishna, one becomes transcendental. yata pravittir bhutanam yena sarvamidam tatam svakarmana tamabhyarcha siddhim vinitimana. By following prescribed duties, every human being can become perfect. Svakarmana, his own duties. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't care about changing someone's duties, trying to get the kshatriya to become a brahmin, or trying to get the vaishya to become a kshatriya. We're trying to push for equality for all of the different classes, which is madness. Let everybody stay where they are and serve Krishna. The idea of social equality on the bodily platform is the stupidest thing in the world. It's the stupidest idea in the world to try to have physical, material means physical, physical equality in a world where everybody is different is really dull. Even to try to have mental equality where everyone has a different mind is dull. Every school teacher knows that. You have gifted students, you have slow students. You can't treat them all alike. You can't give them all the same work. You can't expect the same thing from them. And if you pass a decree, all the students are equal. They're not. And they're not going to go to the, you're not going to get the slow guys going to Harvard. And you're not going to get the super guys going to Alachua Polytech. Everyone has a different speed, according to our gross and subtle physical embodiment. We all have different equipment. You don't try to use a compact car for a truck. You don't try to use a truck for a motorcycle. You don't try to use a motorcycle for an airplane. You know, all this stuff is different. And the thing is just to use it well. A bicycle is a bicycle, a truck is a truck. Everything has its purpose and everything can be properly used. But if you try to use one for another, you're making a mess. And modern society does just that. They try, they aspire for the misguided ideal, misguided and foggy ideal, at least in the modern age. Maybe the people who framed it had a different idea, that everyone is created equal. And we're not. Einstein was not created equal to the slow. Muhammad Ali was not created equal to me. Sting like a bee. I'm not built for it. So in the Bhagavad Gita, we get the clear idea of equality, which comes on the spiritual platform. On the material platform, you will never have equality, ever. The idea of social or any other kind of equality based on the body is a dream or a nightmare, take your pick. But on the spiritual platform, everyone is equal. And we're more radical than the radicals on this equality. Because their idea is that all men, oh my goodness, men, are created equal. Then we have to revise that and say all people are created equal. But we're beyond that. We say, why only people? Why are you considering, Prabhupada would say, why are you considering only the human beings? The fish are also equal. The animals are also equal, the bugs are also equal, the trees are all also equal. Because they're all spirit souls. If I'm not this body, then it doesn't matter whether I'm not this fish body or human body or tree body or any other body, I'm not this body. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that knowledge in the mode of passion is to see that in every different kind of body, there's a different kind of soul. In every different body, there's a different kind of person. And so we treat them differently. We can take care of the human beings and kill the animals, because they're a different kind of thing. But in the Bhagavad Gita, vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavivushtami shruni chaya shapake champandita samadarshana. In the mode of goodness, one sees one kind of living being in all the different species. Among human beings and among animals. Whether one is a Brahmin or a dog eater, the lowest class of human being. They're the same. Whether one is a human being or a cow or an elephant or a dog, same. Radical equality. Absolute equality. Unadulterated equality. On the spiritual platform. So this real equality comes when we come to Krishna consciousness, when we come to the spiritual platform. On the spiritual platform also, among those who are connected with Krishna, there's no such thing as a Brahmin Vaishnava and a Shudra Vaishnava. Someone who's engaged in the service of Krishna, because he's on the transcendental platform, is also beyond these designations. We don't see that here is a high-class Vaishnava and here is a low-class Vaishnava. Everyone is a servant of Krishna. Everyone is a servant of Krishna. No distinction. No distinction. Now, we may work differently. That's another thing. Someone's good as a pujari, someone's good in the garden, someone is good building things, someone is good writing things, someone is good playing radanga, someone's good playing, leading the kirtan, someone's a good dancer, someone's a good businessman, someone's good with the lawyers. Everyone has different skills, everyone has different capability, but that doesn't mean that someone's higher than someone's lower. One time Srila Prabhupada said, the person who's cleansing the temple room floor is as good as the person who's editing back to Godhead. We don't distinguish. No distinction. Why? Because they're all Krishna's servants. This is the Vaikuntha mentality. In Vaikuntha, you know there are so many creatures, there's everything, trees and animals and plants and bees and so on. So it's described in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that there are all these beautiful birds. I didn't read about any turkeys in Vaikuntha. They're all parrots and swans and all these wonderful birds. In India, too, you hear these wonderful birds, the nightingales and so on. They have all these beautiful birds in Vaikuntha, and they're all singing the glories of Krishna. Because in Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, everyone is fully conscious. So the birds are all singing the glories of the Lord, but when the bees start humming, the birds stop and listen. They don't think, bees. They think, bees are glorifying the Lord. Let's listen. So there's appreciation in that way. And everyone is appreciating the service rendered by everyone else, and therefore it's Vaikuntha. There's no anxiety. In the material world of criticism and envy, we create anxiety for one another. One of the miseries imposed on the living beings are their fellow living beings. So we're condemned in the material world to create anxiety for one another. Cross species or within a species, we're in anxiety about the mosquitoes or about the germs or what have you. And we're also in anxiety about our fellow human beings. So this is the material world. Everyone is causing trouble for everyone else. But in the spiritual world, everyone is completely in harmony with Krishna. Here, everyone is completely centered on himself. Everyone is, okay, if not myself, my circle, my family, or my country, or my species, or my party, or whatever it is. I'm interested in me and my extended circle. And for that, the rest of you are the competition, or the obstacles, or the target, or whatever you're going to be. But in the spiritual world, everyone's focus of pleasure is Krishna. Here, my focus of pleasure is me. And my family is good because it pleases me. My country is good because it gives pleasure to me, or security to me, which security to enjoy. But in the spiritual world, the center of pleasure is Krishna. And Krishna distributes pleasure to all living beings, and the living beings share among one another the pleasure of giving more pleasure to Krishna. And that pleases Krishna. When Krishna sees the living beings, his devotees in Vaikuntha, are all working together to please him, he becomes more pleased. And they become more pleased. And therefore Vaikuntha is Vaikuntha. It's full of spiritual happiness that's always increasing. In the spiritual world, there are also no Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra. But some devotees play that way just to make life interesting. It's described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita that for the pleasure of the Lord, some devotees take the role of Brahmins, some take the role of Vaishyas. Krishna enjoys pastimes in the Vaishya community or in the Kshatriya community. Some take the role of birds, some take the role of animals, some take the role of demigods. There's no need of demigods in Vaikuntha, but just to create some interesting fun. Some devotees take the pastimes of becoming sages. There's no one to instruct in Vaikuntha, everyone is perfectly self-realized. But some become sages, some become demigods. And in this way, even they change, they sometimes put on this dress, sometimes put on that, play that role, changing spiritual bodies according to the Lord's pleasure. And yet they don't change. They're always on the spiritual platform. They never change that. They're absolutely Krishna conscious, and they're eternally Krishna conscious. And Krishna is always eternally conscious of his devotees, especially. He's conscious of everyone, but he especially exchanges with his devotees. So that's the spiritual world. And in the material world, divisions for gradual advancement, and with Krishna in the center. There's much that could be said about the social disorganization of Kali Yuga. The summary is that practically everything is a mess, and therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended the upliftment of everyone through the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And let's see what kind of questions or comments there are today. All the way in Pancharatna Prabhu.
This topic of equality. It appears that the concept of equality in our Western society is not material equality so much as moral or ethical equality?
It appears that the concept in our Western society is not material equality so much as moral or ethical equality.
In other words, I don't think anyone would argue that we're all different, and that we have different natures, etc. There's no argument on that.
There's no argument on the material variety.
But the question is whether on the basis of those differences, one should enjoy
whether on the basis of that one should enjoy more privileges or different privileges than another.
Particularly when it comes to the law, the legal system, or other opportunities that society provides.
The law and so on. Well, let's look at that. First of all, we wish it were just about ethical equality and just about moral equality. But unfortunately, it's not. The concept is that jobs should be open to everyone regardless of their qualification.
No.
Yes.
Sex.
Let's take President of the United States, for example. Take a big job. We don't consider that the person has to be qualified with the actual qualities of a kshatriya because we don't even know what they are. Soryam tejo dhritir daksham yute chapya palayanam dhanam ishra bhavascha. We don't even know what the qualities of a kshatriya or a president are. So everyone should be qualified, it should be open to everyone. Every businessman, every shudra, every person who's dodged military service. Every person untrained in the actual work of a kshatriya and uncultured should be allowed to be president. Because that's our idea of ethical. It should be open to everyone. And Krishna's idea of ethical is, yes, everyone who's qualified, trained, not everyone. So, and then when you're president, yes, you get privileges. They're not going to give me an armed guard, I'm sorry. For that matter, if you're a Brahmin, your privilege is that you're entitled to be poor. You're entitled to live in a hut. You're entitled to accept no salary. You're entitled to eat simple food and keep a bare minimum of possessions. That's your entitlement. You're not entitled to what the king is entitled to. Even though your position is higher than the king's, you're not entitled because you'll get corrupt. If you live like a king when you're supposed to be a Brahmin, when you're supposed to be an intellectual, you'll develop the mentality of a king. And your life as an intellectual will be finished. Or putting it another way, as an intellectual, it's your duty to be austere. And a king is not, by definition, an austere person. So, we're talking about equal privilege. This is the top position of everything. All the privileges are reserved for the Brahmins. Yeah, austerity, poverty. One has to accept that if he wants to be a Brahmin. Now, if you want to be a salaried person, that's a different section. If you want to go into business, that's a different section. So, yes, there are different privileges. If you give the person who's unqualified the job and the privileges that go with that job, you'll make a mess. Maybe you remember the old Disney cartoon of the Sorcerer's Apprentice? A little kid who wasn't qualified and started chanting the mantras and created a whole mess? If you're not familiar with it, then you might possibly remember Srimad Bhagavatam, where Sringi was unqualified and was puffed up, and therefore not actually a Brahmin, but was creating trouble. If you give privilege to the wrong persons, you give the presidential or royal privilege to a person who's untrained and uncultured, who's actually a Shudra, he'll just grab it all for himself, lord it over everybody. Therefore, he shouldn't be given those privileges. He shouldn't be given that power. He should be given something according to what he can handle. the direction, Vedic direction, is that the Shudras should not be given money. Why? To keep them down? No, because if you give them money, they'll spend it for booze and floozies. That's what they'll spend it on. I was traveling with a professor once who'd been visiting an earthquake-stricken area, and to make a long story short, all the stricken people received actual money from the government. And the liquor wallows, the liquor dealers, all moved in. And that was the end of their money. And these are people whose homes had been flattened, they were in total distress. But because they weren't the people who knew what to do with money, it was all taken away. The present day governments do that in a more sophisticated fashion. They run lotteries intended to uplift the poor, even though they know from their research that it's the poor people who are stupid enough to buy lottery tickets. So the government gives them money and then takes their money back. The Vedic direction is no, don't give them money, but give them everything they need. The modern governments blow it. Either they give them money, which they misuse, or they don't give them anything. They just try to squeeze every drop of life out of them. The American corporations around the world are busy trying to squeeze the life out of everyone. Cheap labor. But the Vedic direction is give everyone what they need, even the Shudras. They should have clothing, they should have decent living, nothing less. And everyone should have Maha Mantra. Everyone should have Krishna consciousness. But the idea that it's ethical, you give a child a car, is it ethical? Well, you're not any less than everyone else. You're also a human being. Here's the keys to the car to your 8-year-old. No. Privilege is given to the person who has a need for it and who knows how to use it. And there are different privileges. For the Brahmin to be poor, to live in a hut is a privilege. For the Vaishya to have his own business is a privilege. He doesn't want a good job. He wants to be, even if he's not making much money, he wants to be independent. Farming. Actually, they've made Shudras of the farmers because the farmers are supposed to be independent and do their very important work. But they're just made into factory employees and devalued. Everything's scrambled. Yes? Krishna consciousness as it's presented now?
By ISKCON. It's only suitable for a very small percentage of the population.
It's only suitable for a very small percentage of the population.
It'll only be taken up by a few men.
It'll only be taken up by a few men and women. And it's also said that varnashram dharma is not possible in this age. Let's take a few steps back. First of all, Krishna consciousness, the main thing for developing Krishna consciousness in this age, the main vehicle, the main method, the main program, is chanting Hare Krishna. And that's open to everyone. It doesn't matter whether you're this or you're that. Everyone can chant Hare Krishna. So that's, therefore, probably called it universal dharma, universal process. Everyone can become Krishna conscious by chanting Hare Krishna. Now, as far as what ISKCON does in terms of getting up at 3:30 in the morning and doing this and doing that, yeah, maybe not everyone is going to do that. Or even among those who do that, some suitable prescribed work is needed for social organization. So from that point of view, seeing that each peg is in the hole it belongs to is, it belongs in, is important. The person who's inclined to be an intellectual should be engaged as an intellectual. The person who's inclined to be a farmer should be engaged as a farmer. So that should be instituted as something supportive of Krishna consciousness. That, and Prabhupada didn't consider it just well out of the question. He wanted to do that. But the main thing is chanting. And this social organization is to support the chanting and to create a conducive environment for chanting and serving Krishna. Is that okay? Something else? Yes?
You started the lecture saying that Krishna can be seen as Karta, Dhur, Karta. So
yeah.
He is not involved with this world.
Yes.
So is that philosophy of Karma Mimamsa not completely wrong?
Krishna is the doer and he is the not the doer. Does that mean that the Karma Mimamsa philosophy is not completely wrong? It's completely wrong because its conclusion is completely wrong. Its conclusion is that you just do your work and everything comes to you, and there's not even a necessity of any personality of Godhead in control. So everything has a little bit right in it, like a column of figures that you add up, and you've got some of it right, but you've got your bottom line wrong. So you could find something right in there, I'm sure, if you look, but at the end of the day, it's wrong. Is that okay?
But let's say the world is going on by itself.
Let's say the world is going on by itself. Let's not say the world is going on by itself. Why should we say something as silly as that?
As you mentioned, Krishna can be seen as the Akarta.
It's not going on by itself. It's going on by the expert arrangement of Krishna through his material energy. It's not that because the head of the CEO of the corporation is on the golf course, the corporation is going on by itself. He's got his eye on it. That's all he needs to do is have his eye on it. And his secretaries will do everything. There's maybe one other point that I didn't make last week, and that is kind of in connection with Brahminical culture. The Brahmins are supposed to be very learned. They're supposed to know the scriptures. They're supposed to be full of knowledge. And at the same time, the Brahmins are supposed to be very cultured. That was Srindhi's problem, that he had knowledge, but he didn't have culture. And so he cursed the king. He was not meant to be cursed, just because the boy was puffed up. So knowledge is important and culture is important. In culture, humility is the beginning of knowledge. So when we discuss things in the assembly of the devotees, then everyone is invited to contribute, everyone has something valuable to say. But if in the presence of senior persons, I go on from asking a question or making a point to giving extensive discourse, really, that's culturally inappropriate. And it's a sign that the knowledge and culture are not present in the right mixture, that the form hasn't set properly. I guess in cake making, right, you put the ingredients together and they have to set in a certain way. So that's there, that's wanted. The contribution of our thoughts and or the contribution of our questions, tempered with our sense that that we don't want to be in the position where we might possibly be displaying our knowledge rather than making an appropriate contribution. I just wanted to add that. Yes, Lakshmi Shankar.
In terms of applying the Varnashram, in terms of applying the Varnashram perspective to ourselves as individuals, William James said when two people walk in the room, they're really six present. How you see yourselves, each person, how they see themselves, how they see each other, and how you really are. So the six people present. So in terms of ourselves, and I know this is a conflict I've had, how to accurately, and we're aspiring to be Vaishnava, and Vaishnava means transcendental, but when you're not on that platform, there has to be an element of introspection as to what is my nature, and what is my real nature. And then when I look at the qualities of Brahman, and I see other devotees that are very brahminical, I see I'm not that. Or I look at the qualities of Vaishya, and I see other devotees who are have Vaishya, and I'm not that. So if you can't figure it out, are you Sudra?
In your case?
Yes.
You're transcendental. Sagunam Samiti Chaitan Brahmahuyaya Kampa. The person who is fully engaged in the service of Krishna is transcendental to all modes of material nature. Yes?
So it seems like what I'm understanding that even though Krishna is not directly doing any activities, but he's inspiring all his potencies, as you explained, always to do their duty or their activities. So it appears like
to inspire them, he doesn't have to do anything.
But he's desiring to inspire them.
That's all right.
Okay. So then work shows the influence of the potency, but the desire to do the work is also shows the at least once and throughout.
Just like here, first I have to desire to do something and then I have to go out and do it. Or first I may want you to do something and then I have to get you to do it. First I have some plan that you could do something and then I have to work at it to get you to be a part of the plan. Krishna doesn't have to do the work, he just has to have the desire. He just has the desire, and the work gets done.
So can it be said that Krishna is really the doer, everything, everybody else is already done? Because it's the desire...
You can say everything. Krishna, he says, he's the karta, he's the doer, and he's also a karta, he's not the doer. So that's Krishna, he's everything. Then Krishna is everything. So he's the not doer, he's the doer. He's the inside, he's the outside, he's the up, he's the down. Vasudeva Sarvamurti. Shall we stop here? Yeah. Thank you all very much. All glories to you.